This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sander, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Earlier on the show, Matt talked about, you know, Elon Musk taking a step back and looking outside of the window and imagining the future, and also saying that maybe Mark Zuckerberg should probably do something like this, or at least a lot of the tech visionaries of the world are saying that.
Yeah, maybe just step back and get back to the things you're really good at, which often isn't running companies.
Now, Elon Musk, though, when he takes a step back and thinks about the future, he probably does it like an engineer. You know, he probably has like flow charts and probable outcomes, because that's according to what he said. You know, he said, I look at the future from the standpoint of probabilities. It's like a branching stream of probabilities, and there are actions that we can take that affect those probabilities that, or that accelerate one thing or slow down another thing. Now, as everyone looks towards 2019, there are predictions that actually he's made I think we should sort of like talk about it. The number one prediction was that in 7 to 10 years' time, the first humans will colonize Mars. He said that in November. He said that it will be about 7 to 10 years until the first group of humans actually go up to Mars and colonize it. And he's saying that it will probably be engineers, artists and creatives of all kinds who will go to Mars. That rules us out immediately, because we're not engineers, artists or creatives of all
kinds.
Speak
for yourself. I'm all of the above.
He also said there's a 70% chance that he himself will go to Mars, and that his space company recently made a number of breakthroughs that he's just really fired up about it.
That's actually the part that I find weirdest about this. Okay, I probably disagree with him about 7 to 10 years. Ooh. I think we'll probably have manned missions to Mars within that
time frame.
Mm.
Colonize,
I don't think so. I don't think I don't think we'll have even the technology quite to get to that point by then. But why is he only saying 70%? Because all in the past, it's always been, you know, he wants to be
he
on
wants
that
to
first
go.
Rocket.
Mm.
I mean, even earlier, towards the end of last year, he was saying that he would be on the first, I think he was saying that he would be on the first rocket to go there. So how has that become only a 70% chance? Has he looked at the probabilities and he's like, maybe.
Yeah. It is a one-way ticket at this point of time.
But
anyways,
that's the thing.
Right?
I mean, he himself said that it would probably be a one-way ticket, but that wouldn't put him off. Mm. But now we see he's only 70% certain that he would go.
Mm. Maybe he's come to some realization that maybe it is a one-way ticket. And hang on a minute, maybe Earth still needs an Elon Musk. He's alien anyways, so...
I've gone silent for that part.
So SpaceX, they aim to get an unmanned cargo rocket in Mars in year 2024. So he's saying that hopefully there are people on board, but I think there's a pretty good chance of at least having an unmanned craft to go to Mars. And he said that, I think we will try to do this. He told this in October. The other thing is that besides, you know, SpaceX, Tesla, the boring company, which, by the way, still, I think it's the best name company
in the world.
You will be able to connect your brains to computers in 10 years' time through another of his companies called Neuralink. And they are developing ultra-high bandwidth brain-machine interfaces to connect humans and computers. So this long-term aspirations with Neuralink will be to achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence, sort of like a democratization of intelligence. So, you know, having, you know, electrodes and neurons connected to like a brain chip or something like that.
Yeah, this is one of those issues where it's like with the word privacy. Mm. Tech companies mean a different thing with the word privacy to what most of us mean. And I think we have to take words like democratization of intelligence.
Yeah.
When you're talking about implanting something in people's brains, you have to take that word democratization with a huge pinch of salt.
Yeah. Well, he says that, you know what, if the idea of your intelligence being enhanced by computers seems wild, you know what? It's starting now already. I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, boosted up in terms of my intelligence through an AI, because what if that dies? And
no, but I mean, but I think he's definitely correct with this, that technology wise this will be possible. We're there, whether or not we want that, because again, you get into those issues of if you have an AI in your head. Mm. You have that assistance from an AI, but who owns the AI? So does Google own part of your brain? You know, I don't think from a legal standpoint, you know, we're still trying to figure out fake news. So from a legal standpoint, our governments are not anywhere near the point where they can start legislating for this kind of technology inside our heads.
Yeah, that's insane. Also, he said that Tesla's cyberpunk pickup truck prototype could be here in 2019. This is probably one of the most interesting ones because he's super excited about this. He keeps saying, like, you know, I'm dying to make a pickup truck so bad. I'm super excited. This is going to be super fun. It's going to be something like a that came out from like a cyberpunk Blade Runner movie kind of pickup truck. So I have no idea how it's going to look like, but if it's anything going to be that's part of like Blade Runner, I'm in. Sign me up. Probably you won't need one of those.
I wanted the Ford Ranger Raptor, but I'm going to say it now. Elon, I apologize for all the nasty things I've said about you. Please let me have a go with one of these.
Yeah, so he's vague about the specifics of the truck, but you know what? He would probably do this sometime around. About timelines, though, he's never delivered on time. Always delayed. But if it does deliver.
Yeah, I mean, they have the battery technology. Yeah. They have the technology to do it. It's whether they can ramp up production for the kind of chassis that the truck's going to need. But I don't see that as being a major problem. I think we'll definitely see some kind of monster futuristic super fast track, because if it has the kind of acceleration speeds that the cars have, imagine having a truck that goes from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in like 2.5 seconds. That would just be insane.
Yeah, that's insane, totally insane. And also, if it looks anything like the truck that he launched, you know, that was a really cool looking truck.
Of course, but it doesn't matter what it looks like because it will be going so fast that nobody will be able to see it anyway.
It's just going to be a shadow.
It's just a blur.
Anyways, we'll be back and we have Confused by the Crowd. That's how we're going to start 2019. Confused yet again.
By Confused, yes.
BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Confused by the Crowd. That's how we're starting 2019.
I am confused. Not so much by the product. The product itself is
interesting.
Interesting. Strange, but interesting. But kind of by the funding model that, that they're suggesting. Mm. So this is the Electrum light vehicle. Light electric vehicle. It is based on, you know, those weird recumbent bicycles where you do the steering with there's a steering thing underneath your thighs. You pedal over the top. So you're,
it's like a handle kind of, that you steer, right?
Yeah. So you're kind of lying stretched out and in front.
It's always weird.
Yeah, they've always kind of fascinated me. But this is a, so it does legally count as a bicycle because the way it's powered is, basically uses kind of a dynamo. So as far as I can work out, the chain is not connected to the wheels, but you can pedal to put more power back into the electric battery using a dynamo. And then it's driven directly, I think. Like I said, it's all a bit confusing because it also doesn't ship with a battery, or it's not planning to ship with a battery, because shipping large batteries is really complicated. What they're doing is telling you what kind of battery to put into it. And also, when you buy into this, you're not actually buying the product. You're buying first refusal to buy the product. So you can donate, you know, anywhere up to $1,000 US.
What?
and that then guarantees your option to buy. Now, all of the donations, I think, are fully refundable should you choose not to purchase. So they have said that they'll do that. But it is going to be costly. So bearing in mind that it ships without a battery, the basic frame, which is just a frame, that's no wheels, no nothing at all, that's $2,000. If you want the basic bike, that will be $4,000 US, just estimating. But if you want with all the bells and whistles, which is a canopy at the front that protects your legs and kind of weatherproofs you, and it also gives you the option of a cargo seat for the back or a passenger seat, that's going to set you back $6,000 US. So it's not cheap. by any sense of the word. And when you look at the kind of taxes that will be imposed if you're shipping it overseas, then of course you have to buy and install the batteries as well. They do say that it is designed to run at up to 60 kilometers an hour.
Ooh, which in that is, thing.
Yeah, in the thing that you're basically lying down in. So, you know, it is quite an extreme machine and it's very, very narrow. So you can, you know, roll in and out of the traffic. So it is interesting. I mean, when you look at it, it's I don't know. It just looks like a bit like one of those solar vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, long and thin and elongated.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan of the design.
No, I'm not a huge fan of the design. I do find it interesting. But yeah, like I said, I'm a bit confused by this because of the way that they're choosing the funding. But if you are interested, in kind of sustainable travel, have a look at the Electrum light electric vehicle that's on Indiegogo.
All right. Sticking with the theme of transportation, what about a self-driving hotel? Yeah, so it's called the Autonomous Travel Suite, ATS for short. Now, this is a concept that was designed by Aprilli Design Studio, and it's largely based on the self-driving vehicle technology of the future. So the idea here is that instead of riding along in a car, with a seat and stuff like that, and computer takes you around to your destination, you actually feel you can move around over on this, you know, oversized cabin. And it's apparently going to be quite a large vehicle. It has a feature with distinct areas, much like you'll find in like a hotel suite.
Yeah, like itself. A capsule hotel.
Yeah, so you know you've got your areas and stuff, so you can kick back on the bed, get some work done on the desk, or you could fix yourself a quick bite to eat in this, you know, pint-sized kitchenette.
Yeah, I hope it has a bathroom.
I think there will be one very small bathroom on board.
Because it'll kind of be pointless if you haven't got a bathroom, right?
Yeah, but then that's like a whole different issue with where the waste is going to go.
But as a customer, you don't care about that.
Yeah, but I don't want to be stuck behind a car that is an autonomous hotel while Matt is, you know, in the bathroom of this ATS.
Yeah, but you have that with those big recreational vehicles and caravans and all that kind of thing.
Thankfully, though, this is just a concept. But they are already in touch with automakers to, you know, sell this idea that, hey, maybe, you know what, you should build one of these larger kind of cabin and, you know, and then figure out a way of how to, like, recharge these pod hotels that are on wheels. But it got us excited over it because,
well, yeah,
you know, I can see this work, but not the hotel necessarily.
Yeah, I think as we were discussing, more for traveling from like long journeys, like long distances.
Yeah.
That would be quite cool. I mean, you could go from coast to coast in the US and take your motel with you.
Yeah,
so
you could still you know, sort of kick back and go into your bunker bed. But this thing, instead of, I know people will say, like, there is a train, there is this thing we call a train that has all these, you know, equipment.
Well, you
different
can do
sections.
All of this already.
You could already do all of this, but, like, you know, doing it on the road where I guess it will probably feel different, and only when the world is autonomous, I guess you could see something like this happening.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm also wondering, you know, how you would make it cost-effective enough to use as well, because it's not, I don't really see it as serving that kind of luxury market, but for it to function, it has to serve that kind of, you know, that business user road warrior type thing. So it has to be priced quite cost effectively. So it'd be interesting to see if it comes through. It is a fun idea. What I'd like to see is actually, you know, multi-story stacks of these things moving around. So,
that'll
you know,
be cool.
your roadside motel is actually moving. So you've actually got to chase your hotel van.
That's so Blade Runner-esque, though. If you just imagine multi-story hotels just moving on wheels and stuff.
But one question. If your hotel is moving, where do you park?
You never park.
Well, I mean,
it's
no,
never
I mean,
the destination.
You know, when you go to a hotel, you go and check in, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got your car, you leave your car and your hotel goes off. What use is that?
Well, in the future, you may not even own a car. You know, you may have an autonomous car that sends you to this autonomous driving hotel.
What I think this is probably going to end up is we're all going to end up living in these things. That's what kind of scares me.
Wow. Yeah. That'll be. You know what scares me? Japan.
All of it.
The food, one of it, I actually kind of like. I'm a bit afraid of like sushi and raw stuff. But a Japanese man has married a hologram that he's been in love with for, I don't know, like how many years or so. So Akihiko Konda, he's 35 years old. He tied the knot with the virtual singer Hatsune Miku at a ceremony in front of 40 guests. Now, this is one of those really weird kind of story, because Konda says that he was in love with this virtual anime character with saucer eyes and long blue pigtails, as the two of them were unofficially wed at the Tokyo City Hall this month. Now, I don't know if most of you know what is or who is Hatsune Miku. Well, it's the Vocaloid software voice bank developed by Krypton Future Media in 2007 with the design of a blue-haired 16-year-old girl. She's a recognizable character in the Japanese pop culture, featuring as a singer at live concerts, as an animated projection, and now it's also marketed as a virtual home anime companion. Her voice is modeled from singer Saki Fujita, who has voiced numerous Japanese anime production. Miku has a huge following in Japan with products and merchandises with her image said to be worth about 69 billion million pounds. So this is one of those characters that we've, I think, spoken about before, where it greets you in the morning and, like, you know, have a good day at work, and then, you know, when you go back from home, she turns on the light and she say like, oh god, I miss you, and it's that weird hologram, and this guy decided to marry her.
Yeah, I mean, this story is just so bonkers. I'm not even going to bother saying much. I mean, it's just so obviously bonkers.
It is.
That you're allowed to marry bonkers. It's just bonkers.
Apparently, though, this is not the first time. Gatebox, the company that produces the hologram device featuring Miku, has issued a marriage certificate that certifies a human and a virtual character have wed beyond dimensions. The company has issued more than 3,700 certificates for cross-dimension marriages. So, you know what, Mr. What's his name again? Mr.
Bonkers.
Mr. Kondo. Yeah, this character that you just got married with is like, you know, 3,699 husbands.
3,700 other husbands.
But that is the world that we're probably going to live in, unless...
It isn't. It's the world that we don't have to live in. That's the whole point.
Unless...
That's why it's bonkers.
Unless we own the future and we make a decision.
Precisely.
All right. What do we have for Geek Tunes then?
Well, we have a Geek Tune inspired by that last story. This is an
it's
oldie.
Not a Japanese song, please.
No.
Oh, thank God.
This is I'm in Love with a German Film Star by The Passions.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.